Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the book of Timothy. That's not going to be our preaching text, so to speak, but that's going to be the text where we're going to get the title for the message. We're going to be preaching out of Nehemiah chapter number 4, but I want to read you a few verses in the book of Timothy, because I did not know until Brother Jack was preaching and teaching in Sunday school. I didn't know until then what the title for today's message would be. God gave me the message, but I didn't have a title in mind, and the Lord gave me this title while Brother Jack was teaching in Sunday school this morning. Let's stand in reverence to the Word of God, if you would, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I'm going to read the first four verses. Some of you are here this morning that we haven't seen in a while. And I'm so thankful you're here. You bless me when you come. And I praise the Lord for your presence. Boy, I tell you, these little children are such a blessing to me. Amen. I got to spend a little time with some of them yesterday. And what a blessing it is. Amen. To have the little children running around the church. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 1. Paul is talking to his son in the faith. He's not his son physically, but Timothy is Paul's son in the faith. He says, "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the thing that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Did you know that it would change our country if everybody went to church this morning to get something that they wanted to go share with somebody else this week? I've said this for years, and it's true. I learned this on my trip to Israel. The Dead Sea is dead because it has an inlet, but it has no outlet. The Jordan River runs into the Dead Sea, but there's no outlet. And I'll tell you, your Christian life will never be exactly what it ought to be unless there's an inlet and an outlet. God wants us to be a channel, not a pool of His blessings or a sea or a lake, but a channel. He wants to channel His truths and His blessings through us. I didn't mean to share this, but I'm just trying to mind the Lord. Went to see Sister Shelby yesterday, my wife and I. And Brother Brian, he suggested years ago that I get a flu shot, Brother Brian Odell. He said, "Pastor, you're in so many nursing homes and hospitals and different places." He said, "If I were you, I would get a flu shot." And I said, "That's good enough for me." I trusted that man. Amen. And I love him. But yesterday we went to see Sister Shelby, and I just happened to look over at Walgreens, and they were giving the flu shots. So I told Miss Eve to go on up and see Sister Shelby. I'll be up in a little bit. So rolled up my sleeve. Long story short, I got to talking to the lady that was going to give me the shot. She got to talking about, I was talking about Shelby singing in the choir 6-7 weeks ago. And she got to talking about her grandparents and how that she could still listen and hear her grandparents singing the songs of Zion. Amen, the songs of God. I want to ask her where she went to church. She said, "Well, I'm not going anywhere. We moved here from Jackson, Tennessee." And so I invited her to church. So she gave me the shot and went on up and seen Sister Shelby. On the way back down, the Lord put it on my heart. I said, "Miss Eve, I want you to meet this young lady." I said, she said she might, got children, might come visit the church. So I introduced her to Miss Eve. And to beat all, Brother Chris, while I was gone, she was talking to the pharmacist. And the pharmacist don't have a church either. Amen. And the pharmacist said, "Well, how are we going to get in touch with him? And you got to fill out this form." She said, "Well, I got his number." But God, see, brought us back through so I could meet the pharmacist, give them both one of the little cards, and invite them to come. All I'm telling you is God don't want us to just be a channel on Sunday. But every day of our life, we can be a channel. Watch what the Bible said here. He said, commit it to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness, it's Veterans Day, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. What a blessing it is this morning. I've never served in the military, as far as the Army, the Navy, the Marines, or the Air Force, or the Guard. But what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's Army this morning, to be a soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can be seated. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for your people. Thank you for your presence. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. God, I believe you've come down in the singing. And Lord, the fellowship this morning certainly has been sweet. And I pray, dear God, today that you would help us, our Lord, in the message. Lord, to speak with clarity and to speak with boldness the truths that need to be brought out today. God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Take your Bibles now and turn back to Nehemiah chapter number 4. And I want to preach on this subject this morning, Nehemiah, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Nehemiah, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I want to show you some things in this chapter that I believe pertain to our country today, pertain to Christians today. And I don't know about you, but if you know the Lord, there should be a desire in your heart to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I believe that would be a good thought to pick up on today. The Bible is telling us here in this chapter several things. Instead of reading the whole chapter, I'm just going to read it as we go. And I want you to see some things that will be involved in being a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall. Just a little bit of background, you understand that Nehemiah got under a burden because the holy city was lying in ruins. He heard about it, then he went and saw it. He wept over it, amen. And God put a burden in his heart. Let me say this to you this morning. I don't want to say it in a mean spirit at all. But if you don't have a burden on your heart, what's wrong? Why can't we have a burden for lost people? Why can't we have a burden for our country? Why can't we have a burden, amen, for families that are broken, for families that are suffering? And for people that are suffering, we need that burden. Nehemiah had that burden. He spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria, and he said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Did you know to the world that's what the church looks like? We look like just a feeble church. What are they going to do? Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. If they only knew the God we serve, say amen. I'm telling you, with just 50-some days, and they completed this wall. The Bible said here, will they make end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now, Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, well, even if they build, if a fox go up. How many of y'all know what size a fox is? A fox is a real little dog. Amen. With a big long tail. The tail's just about as long as the dog is. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. He's making fun. He said, well, even if they build it, if a fox run up against it, it would fall down. Amen. Here's the first thing in the message today, and I've got several to give you. We need to acknowledge the enemy. We need to acknowledge that we have an enemy. The veterans that are here today didn't get on a boat or get on a plane and go across the sea to fight, not knowing that they had an enemy. Can I tell you this today, beloved? America's got some enemies. Amen. And we need to realize today, beloved, that America's worth fighting for. And, beloved, that God has a truth. But if we don't acknowledge the enemy, beloved, then we're going to fail in that battle. Amen. We need to understand that there is an enemy of this book. There is an enemy of the church. There is an enemy of God. There is an enemy of God's people. There is an enemy of this country because it was founded upon, I say it without apology, the principles of the Word of the living God. Amen. I appreciate the Lord. We need to acknowledge the enemy if we're going to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's something else that we need to see. Look in verse number 4. Hear, O Lord, our Lord, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. We need to understand and see the anger of the Lord. Beloved, we could be more bold in our service for God if we would realize that people are really not against us. They're against our God. Say amen. They're not mocking us. They're mocking the God that lives in us. They're mocking the truths of the Word of God when they don't know whether a man is a man and a woman is a woman. It's not because they're mixed up. It's because they deny the truths of the Word of God. And beloved, if we're not careful, beloved, you start denying the truths of the Word of God, you'll end up in a state of reprobate where you won't even know, amen, what's right and what's wrong. And I believe with all of my heart, these people here, that they provoked the Lord to anger. You say, Pastor, do you really believe God gets angry? Let me give you a verse of Scripture. The Bible said He's angry with the wicked every day. We want that God of mercy and God of love and God of grace, but we don't want that God of judgment and that God of wrath. But the same God, amen, listen, there's a side of Him where you can experience His mercy. How do you do that, preacher? Through the cross of Calvary. You have to come and listen. You have to understand your need of mercy, and you have to understand that He has mercy, amen. When those two stood in the temple, the Pharisee, I said, I thank you, I'm not like other men are, or even as this publican. But that publican smote upon his breast and he said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He did what old Brother Billy Mitchell taught us, amen, time and time again. He took sides with God against himself. And the Bible said, I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. I've been to church 6.5 years, beloved, before I got saved. I've been to the altar at different times trying to get help, but there was a night, beloved, that I went down to my house justified. You want to know why? Because I agreed with God. God, I'm the low-down sinner you said I am, and you're the Savior that you said you are. And I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and He trusted Him as my Savior, amen. And He saved my never-dying soul. We need to acknowledge the enemy. Then we need to understand the anger of the Lord. It would help us. And then thirdly, if we're going to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible said in verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth. See, the enemy gets mad when God's purpose is being accomplished, when God's plan is being accomplished. It makes the enemy mad. It makes God's people glad. Say amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're not glad when somebody gets saved, I don't know what's wrong with you, but something's wrong with you. Amen. The enemy's mad when somebody surrenders to Jesus. But watch what the Bible said here. And they conspired, all of them together, to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. If you look at this scripture here, they wanted to mock it to start with. Then they wanted to hinder the work. And then they wanted to stop the work. We'll see that in just a moment. Amen. Watch this now. What do you do if you're going to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus? Here's what the Bible said. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God. Glory to God. You say, Pastor, what do you got there now? You have access to the throne. I got to thinking about the veterans. Raise your hand again if you're a veteran here today. I got to thinking about that. Brother Junior, you didn't get to come up here. I didn't know that, or you'd have been up here, buddy. Amen. Brother Jimmy, where are you at, Brother Jimmy? I don't see him. Amen. Make sure Brother Junior gets one of them gift cards. Amen. What did he say? He's already got one? Oh, okay. Well, amen. Well, let me say this morning. I got to thinking about our veterans. And listen to me. I've heard stories about this. I've heard men come home and say, I made it back because I had a praying mama. Amen. I made it home, amen, because I laid in that foxhole and I talked to the God of heaven, amen, and I asked God to help me, amen. I'm telling you, thank God Almighty, if you're going to be a soldier, you better take advantage of the access that you have to the throne of God. And here's what God gave me, Brother Chris. There was praying going on at home, and there was praying going on the battlefield. Now listen to me, God's people are on the battlefield today. Are you listening to me? And this world's not our home. You say, well, what do you mean there's prayer going on at home? Glory to God, there's one sitting at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us while we're down here trying to fight the good fight of faith, amen, and be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you acknowledge the enemy. You see the anger of the Lord. You have access to the throne of God, and thank God we do. But I want you to see this. There's an adversary that's real. Look at verse 10. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish. I will say this to you this morning. There's a lot of people in this room, your pastor included. Our strength ain't what it used to be. I'll tell you, that disappoints me. Amen. When your mind wants to, and your heart wants to, and your body, amen, just can't catch up with your heart and your mind anymore. How many knows what I'm talking about? Beloved, here they are. The Bible said the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. There's much rubbish that they're not able, we're not able to build the wall. Now I want you to see this in verse 11. And our adversary said, oh, there's an adversary. This is the fourth point in the message. There's an adversary that's real. He's very real today, amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Look what the Bible said. Our adversary said, they shall not know. That's what the adversary is counting on today, is that we're ignorant and that we don't know, amen. That's what he's counting on. Neither see. Now watch this. Till we come in the midst of them and slay them. And here's the real deal. And cause the work to cease. I'm going to tell you, beloved, you can like it or lump it, but there's a group of people in this country right now, if they were to have power, they would love for the doors of this place to be shut. They would love, beloved, if you didn't have a book, amen, to read, a Bible to read, a preacher to listen to, a gospel song to bless your heart. I'm telling you, you say, Pastor, what are you talking about? The Bible said, till we come in the midst of them. And if you don't pay attention, beloved, it's your own fault. They're coming in the midst. Amen. I want to stand this morning and say, I'm not a Muslim. Amen. I'm not the mayor of New York. But I tell you what I am. I'm a child of the living God. And I love the Lord Jesus. And I love this church. I love this book. I love God's people. I love sinners. And America is America because the God of this book has blessed America. It's not America. Come in the midst. Oh, yes, honey. You say, well, Pastor, that's all the way up there in New York. Let me tell you something I learned years ago. What's going on in these big cities is coming to the country. Oh, it started out. Oh, Pastor, that man marrying a man, that's over in California. It's come to the country. We got people running businesses right here in Kingsport. We better wake up. A good soldier of the Lord Jesus, he understands we have an adversary that's very real. Oh, I looked this morning, Sister Danita, at these little babies up here singing. He wants to devour them. He don't want them to have life and have it abundantly. He wants to kill them. He wants to destroy them. He wants to take their lives away from them. But oh, aren't you glad this book teaches, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We don't have to surrender to old Slewfoot. Beloved, listen, there's an adversary. 250 years. You know what bothers me? I thank God for America. But I'll say like Brother Jack did in Sunday school. Somebody show me America in Bible prophecy. In the end time. I used to think it's going to be a nuclear bomb. But honey, we're eating ourselves alive from the inside. And a lot of it's because we don't have enough good soldiers. We got men standing in pulpits like this that won't preach. We got dads that won't stand for what's right, amen, with their babies. We got moms, amen, that won't teach their youngins about the God of heaven. Listen to me, if this is all the Bible you get in a week's time, I feel sorry for you. You ought to get in this book every day of our life. The Bible said, give us this day our daily bread. It's not just a once a week thing or a twice a week thing. Oh, beloved friend, 250 years, God has blessed this great nation. And I'm telling you, there is a fear in my heart. If we don't have some soldiers like Nehemiah. Nehemiah's job, Brother Chris, it looked insurmountable. It looked impossible. But you know what we need to remember? You say, Pastor, you really think we could have revival in America? I believe we're seeing hints and touches of it here and there. Say amen. I believe there's beginning to get a hunger in the younger generation's life. Not for a lie, but for the truth. They've been told a lie over and over and over and over, amen. They've been told that we come from monkeys. It takes more faith to believe that than it does to believe the Word of God. We ought to pray. We ought to say, with God, all things are possible. Amen. We can have revival. So we acknowledge the enemy. We see the anger of the Lord. We see we have access to the throne if we're going to be a good soldier. We need to understand there's an adversary that's very real. But I want to give you something else here that's very, very important, I believe. And the Bible said in verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all places, whence ye shall return unto us, they will be upon you. This is what Nehemiah did. He said, therefore I sat in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places. I even set the people after their families. I'm glad Nehemiah believed in the family. Amen. Do you know what the Marxist wants to do? Destroy the family. Destroy the family unit, amen. I preached in prison for 12 years. Most of those men grew up without a daddy. I preached hard to them. I told those men, I said, anybody can lay down with a woman and get her pregnant. I said, it takes a real man to stand up and be a daddy, to be a father, amen, to those children. I wasn't trying to hurt them. I was trying to help them. Some of them is going to get out of there. They need to find their youngins, say amen. And they need to teach their youngins. I've been in situations where there was a grandpa and a son and a grandson in the same prison. It's a vicious cycle, but it can be broken by the grace of God. Watch this now. The Bible said here, I even set the people after their families with their swords and their spears and their bows. And I looked and rose up. Oh, I like that, don't you? Oh, Nehemiah stood up. And he said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, I like this, be not afraid of them. Glory to God. And there may have been some standing in that crowd said, Nehemiah, are you crazy? Have you lost your mind? Watch this now. Nehemiah said, let me remind you about something. Be not afraid of them. He said, remember the Lord. These people had some history, amen. They remembered when old Pharaoh had them backed up against the Red Sea. Amen. There wasn't no way out until God come along. I mean, he's glad God makes a way out. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, they remembered that firstborn that died in the land of Egypt. They remembered when God delivered over and over and over. He said, I want you to remember the Lord. Watch this now. He said, which is great and terrible. All they could see was the enemy, Brother Chris. But oh, Nehemiah said, you need to see something besides the enemy. Amen. You say, Pastor, what's going on right here? He said, fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Let me tell you what's at stake in America. There's an ancestry at stake. My grandson's coming in here first of the week for just a day. He and Olivia and Charity. And I'm going to tell you something. I think about it. You say, why in the world do you want to be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I got a wife. I got children. I got grandchildren. Honey, I got great-grandchildren. The third one's in the oven. Say amen. Coming out soon. Coming soon. Pastor's third great-grandchild. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. When I look at them, you say, Pastor, don't you ever feel like giving up? Oh, yeah. But when I look at them, brother, not giving up gets up and stands up. Says, I'm going on. Because I see what's at stake. Amen. Your wives and your little ones. Amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. When these men went across that sea and fought for this great country, it wasn't just for themselves. They knew there was a lot at stake on this side of the sea. And they were willing. Are you willing to fight for the Lord Jesus? There's an ancestry at stake. I want you to see this. Look at verse 15. The Bible said, and it came to pass when our enemies heard that it was known unto us that God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned. I want you to circle this or underline it in your Bible. All of us to the wall. Everyone, you ought to circle that, to the work. Look down at verse 17. They which builded the wall, they that bear burdens, those that laid it, you ought to circle that. Everyone with one of his hands he brought into work. With the other he held a weapon. For the builders, look at verse 18. Everyone had his sword girded by his side. You get down to verse number 22. Likewise, at the same time I said unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge in Jerusalem. I'm just trying to tell you this morning. It doesn't matter if you're 65 like I am, or if you're 6, or if you're 12, or if you're 20, or if you're 30, or 35, or 40. It doesn't matter how old you are. Beloved, there's a place for everyone in this battle. There's a place for everyone in this battle. I don't know about you, but I see here in verse number 15, the Bible said here, their counsel was brought to naught. He said, remember the Lord. He said, we returned all of us, everyone, to the work. This is number 6 in the message. There's an ally that we can trust. There's a God in heaven, beloved, that's trustworthy. As a matter of fact, He's more than an ally. He's the captain of our salvation. He's the one, beloved, calling the shots. Amen. And thank God we have orders that we can get from headquarters and be the soldier of the cross that the Lord would have us to be. Let me show you this in closing today. The Bible said in verse 18, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side, and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. I want you to see this. And I said unto the nobles, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large. Can I tell you this? The work of God is great. It's large. It's bigger than a pastor. It's bigger even than one church. But there's so much. I believe Jesus, if he were sitting in a prayer meeting, I believe this would be his request. He would say, Brother Pastor, he would say, would y'all help me pray? He'd say, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pastor, would you help me pray that God would send forth laborers into his harvest. How many believes that'd be his prayer request? I found it in the Bible. Amen. The work is great and large. That's going to get good. Watch this now. He said, we're separated upon the wall, one far from another. So they're all working on the same wall. Oh boy, I love this. I used to look at this a lot when I was a missionary. I would tell the churches, you know, I'm up there in Pennsylvania in a prison, but I'm working on the same wall y'all are working on here. Say amen. The wall, the Bible talks about in the New Testament as lively stones built one upon another. Talking about the church of the living God. Watch this now. He said, one far from another. Watch this now. In verse 20. He said, in what place therefore you hear the sound of the trumpet? He said, resort ye hither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. You say, Pastor, what's the last thing in the message? There's an assembly on the horizon. I don't know about you, but I believe Jesus is coming. I believe there's a trumpet going to sound. And I believe God's people are going to gather together. The Bible said it like this, said the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. Does anybody know the next word? Together with them in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm going to tell you, beloved, there is an assembly on the horizon when God's people... You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with being a good soldier? Got everything to do with being a good soldier. If you really believe that Jesus is coming, you don't want to be found laying in the bed. You want to be found on the battlefield. Say amen. You want to be found doing the work of God. And I believe with all of my heart, when the Bible said here, so we labored in the work. I use this verse often at graveside funerals. The Bible said, thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But you go down there, and the Bible said, to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. One of the biggest lies, Sister Brenda, that the devil tells is it's all in vain. That's a lie of the devil. He will tell that to anybody that's trying to do anything for God. He'll say it's all in vain. But remember, he's a liar. Amen. Be a good soldier of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Nehemiah, I don't know about you, but I cannot argue anything except he was a good soldier. So we labored in the work. Half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time said I unto the people, let every one, there it is again, with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard unto us and labor on the day. So neither I, nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes, saving that every one put them off for washing. Honey, they were alert. They were on the job. They were being a good soldier. While some was building, others were watching. Amen. And standing guard. And I believe with all of my heart that Nehemiah was a good soldier. When I study men like Nehemiah, I want to be a man like Nehemiah. I don't want to be, beloved, wishy-washy. Amen. I don't want to have my head in the sand while the enemy's coming in the midst. I want to know. Amen. I want to see. I want to be alert to what needs to be done for the glory of God Almighty. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Thank you, God, this morning for this man, Nehemiah, for a man that would be a good soldier for Timothy. Lord, you said if we're going to be a good soldier, we can't be tangled up in the things of this world. Lord, we have to have us to be until we hear that trumpet and we gather together around the throne of God with your precious people. Would you help us, our Lord? God will give you glory. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe there's somebody here and you say, Preacher, I've never enlisted in God's army. I've never been born again. Pray for me. Is there anybody like that here? I've never enlisted in God's army. I've never been born again. Pray for me. Listen, this is a hard one. Is there somebody here today and you say, Pastor, I know I'm saved. And as well as I know I'm saved, I'm AWOL on God. I'm away without leave. I need to get back in that service of the Lord. Get back and be a good soldier. Would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. God bless you. That's me. God bless you. God bless you, dear people. God bless you. There's room on the firing line. We need you on the firing line. Come this morning. Bow and say, God, give me my place back in this battle that we're fighting. Somebody else, raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. I want to be a good soldier, but I've been AWOL on my Lord. Pray for me. Pray for me. Father, you've seen the hands. God, I ask you in Jesus' name to do a work, God, that only you can do in hearts and lives. Help us today, our Lord, to admit our need, Lord, to enlist, Lord, once again in the greatest army that's ever been on the face of the earth, the army of God, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together. We're going to sing.